Because everybody downloaded the Adopt Your City app. So when you do prayer walking, Friday morning, we were in London, prayer walking the London Wall up to Cripplegate and praying in the gates as we went. And I only remember to switch it on about halfway up. So, but it's still there. So do that, and when you get out and you're praying, just that will encourage others when they look and find somebody's been praying around my neighbourhood. So do that. Let's get wet. Hey, sounds good. I think it's a sermon for Joseph, isn't it? Let's get wet. He's not right here. He just can't resist it, can he? I'm coming to this. I did mention one of the scriptures I knew this morning when I spoke a couple of weeks ago, but that's just kept coming back to us. It's relentlessly through different speakers and different things. We've been hearing it again. I thought, I can't let go of this. And then every time I open my Bible, it's like, here we are in the water somewhere or other. So it's just like the Lord's trying to re-emphasize this whole thing about who he is in terms of the river and the water and so on. And it said, I've sort of put, let's get wet inside and out. Because Jesus, when he was talking at one point, there's a scripture here, says, on the last day and the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Isn't it interesting that it was on the last day of the feast? What happens at a feast? Not a fast, a feast. They've been eating and drinking, and then he says, is anybody thirsty? Is anybody thirsty? Come to me, and actually from right down inside of you will actually come up in response to drinking in of Jesus, to actually partaking of Jesus, a river, a living river that flows out to others. In the next verse he was talking about the Holy Spirit who was going to come. I don't know if you've ever had one of those thirsts that you have a thirst and it doesn't matter what you drink, it just doesn't slake the thirst. It usually happens to me if I've got a bit dehydrated and like Friday, because we're out of sync and we're walking and doing stuff like that, so we didn't have as many drinks. I'm a terrible creature of habit about having drinks at the same kind of time to make sure I don't dehydrate. And then you miss those times and you get a headache, and it doesn't matter what you drink, you're just still thirsty. And there's something that Jesus is describing here that's a bit like that, that it doesn't matter what you drink of the world, you're going to be thirsty. But if you come to him, not only will your thirst be satisfied, but from inside of you will flow a supply that others can drink from. It's interesting too that he talks about a river. He doesn't say come to an oasis, a pond, a pool. He says come to a river, because a river is flowing, and when it's flowing, it keeps it fresh and life is in it. And for the hikers and mountaineers in us, they will know that if you get to a nice mountain spring and it's running, you can drink from it. Have you done that, Steph and Shell? Drunk out of the river? And there's places on Snowdon, I've done that. Walk up Snowdon, drink from the streams. It's fine. And there's places in Sweden that will be fine too, in the rivers and in the lakes. It's fine. In fact, back home in Sweden, you need a bit of a filter on, but they just pump the water from the lake for some of the stuff. And Jesus was baptized in a river. It's interesting. He didn't find a bathtub somewhere, or a pool or a pond. He went to a river, because that was speaking, like he said, that he was speaking of the Spirit to come. And Jesus went, he didn't need to be cleansed. He didn't need to come to a river for a baptism of repentance. But he came and he was baptized as an example to us. And when he came out of the water, what happened? The Holy Spirit came and rested on him. And he supplied that partnership. God, that is like a river, came and touched Jesus. And through his life, he walked in that partnership, in the power of the Spirit. And isn't that amazing? Because we can do the same. But it's about a river, and it's about being in the river. And I just kept finding more and more verses. It's funny, I was going to kind of look up in the concordance online, rather than using the big fat one that's on the bookshelf. You do it online these days, it's quicker. I was going to look up river, and the Lord said, don't look up river, look up thirst and thirsty. It's just amazing how many scriptures I found. Over 100 scriptures in the Bible about being thirsty. Isaiah 55, I like this one because it's fun. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you have no money, come and buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Come if you're thirsty. You don't have to have anything to come to Jesus. If you're broken and empty and you run out of everything, it's fine. He's there to supply. Come to Jesus and drink. Time to get in the flow. I want to start at the end of the Bible, and then we're going to come back and come back through. And this is the last chapter in the Bible. And it starts, then he showed me. So this is the Apostle John is writing this because he's having a vision of something in heaven that's happening to him. It's late in his life. He's on the Isle of Patmos. And it's kind of in a kind of exile. And he was having this vision. He showed me a river of water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb in the middle of its street. And on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were the healing of the nations. So there's a river that flows from the presence of God, flows out of the temple of God, and actually on its banks, because there's life in the river, there's a tree of life that is healing. It's just the leaves of the tree are healing. And it bears fruit all year round. And there are some pictures in the Old Testament where actually a tree can be in bud and in leaf and in fruit all at the same time. It's never out of fruit. God is never short of resources to meet our need. But the source is the presence of God. And it was interesting to me when I thought and was meditating on this, knowing that the source of that living water is the presence of God. I don't know, how many of you like being around water? Pretty much everybody. We drink it, yeah, we need it. It's pretty essential, we can't live without it. And I mean, I love being, when we're in Sweden, I love it because there's just so many lakes. I mean, you go around a bend, there's another lake. It's just this, if you look at an aerial view of Sweden, it's just puddles everywhere. And forests and puddles and more of them. And there's lakes and rivers. Gunilla can't resist it. When we came over the mountain to the Pacific Ocean, she couldn't wait to get her shoes off and paddle in the Pacific, even though it was cold. Because there's just something about water. Or people will stand, even on a stormy day, down on the beach and watch the waves crashing over. You can stand there and watch it for ages. Or just hearing the sound of a small brook or something. The program I love watching occasionally is Escape to the Country, or one of those things, and you see it. And then now and again they come up with a property and it's got a brook running through the back. That's it, we're packing up, we're going to move there, we're having that one. Because the sound of this water just running through and just seeing that life is really attractive. It's really attractive for most of us. And it just struck me that the water comes from the presence of God. It's attractive. We're attracted to it. And I didn't bring my Passion Translation, but Psalm 42, another one that's very familiar to us. It says, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. And it's just beautifully written in the Passion Translation. Just that hungering and longing and thirsting for the love and the presence and the comfort and the strength that God brings. It's like a thirst. And we can come to him. And he fulfills that need. We know Jesus, when he spoke, even towards the end of his life, commissioned us to disciple nations. And it's the river that brings the life that has the fruit that heals the nations. We're going to disciple nations, then the healing of the nations is in the fruit. Nations need healing. Just amazing. I'm not a fan of walking around the city of London, I have to say, because it's just heaving with life. And you think, if ever a place needs some healing, you know, there are rivers there and you can't see them most of the time because they're underground. And, you know, when they moved government to Westminster, it's because in the city of London, the rivers there were stinking and smelly. And it's just like, yeah, that's what it, yeah. If ever it needs healing, it's, you know, where the cities are and places like that. This other scripture, which is just a few verses down in the same chapter of Revelation, says, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to take the water of life without cost. There's a call from heaven to the thirsty to say, come. And it's intriguing here to me. It says the Spirit and the Bride say, come. It doesn't say Jesus says, come. It says the Spirit and the Bride. Who's the Bride? It's us. So the Holy Spirit and us say to those who are thirsty, those who are hurting, those who are in pain, come. And we're inviting them to come and to drink of the well that is Jesus. Come and drink from the source of the river that is Jesus. It's interesting. This is right at the end of the Bible. This is almost the last verses of the Bible. And the Spirit and the Bride, that's us, are saying to people who still yet need to drink, come. That's saying something to me about it ain't finished when it gets to the end of Revelation. There's still a time of invitation. There's still a time to rescue. There's still a time for those who are hungry to come in. And we talk about being baptized, and I talked about Jesus getting baptized. And I've written down here, our baptism is not meant to be a one-off occasion, but a continuous dwelling in the flow of the river. And there are different words in the Greek for baptize, baptizo, and Ed talks about it a lot. And it's about being in, like in a constant flow of the river. And it's just being in the presence of Jesus. The world waits for a new water supply. The world is waiting for a new water supply. Isaiah, so we're now going to run back into the Old Testament now, and this is 600 or so years before Jesus. The eyes of the blind will be opened. The ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Are we seeing that now? Are we seeing that happen? We are, aren't we? We saw it in Jesus was here, and we're seeing it happen now. The lame will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute will shout for joy. For waters will break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the Arabah. The scorched land will become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. There's a promise that there's going to be a renewing. I had to look up Arabah to figure out what Arabah, because I just found it kept coming up and up and up. As I read through the scriptures, it keeps coming about springs where the Arabah is. And does anybody know? I'll tell you. It's a dry desert basin that is around the Dead Sea. So it's the dead place. So even the water in there is dead. It's fruitless and dead. So in the worst possible place of barrenness, God promises there can be life. Isn't that fantastic? When we think there's no chance of anything coming back, God says, I can redeem it because I can bring life to it. And the ground itself is crying out. So in Romans 8, the anxious longing of creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. That's us. Notice creation is longing for. If you were a dry desert that hadn't flowered in hundreds of years, wouldn't you be waiting for something that brings the blessing of God and releases springs in the desert? Creation is waiting and longing. The ground itself, the earth, is parched for the need of the children of God to bring the presence of God back to planet Earth. So that the ground itself will be healed, and not just the people. Because in that verse it talks about people being healed, and it talks about the ground being healed. And that's part of what we're meant to do. Move on a few chapters in Isaiah to Isaiah 41. The afflicted and the needy are seeking water, but there is none. And their tongue is parched with thirst. I, the Lord, will answer them myself. As the God of Israel, I will not forsake them. I will open rivers on the bare heights and springs in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land fountains of water. He has a promise that even when we think nobody else has got anything, he will come through. He will come through. And Jesus is the source. John 4. Jesus says, whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become a well of water springing up to eternal life. That's just a few chapters to the one I started with. And this is the story of the woman at the well. A Samaritan woman whose life was really broken, who'd known rejection over and over and over again. And here comes this guy who's not even supposed to speak to her, because he's a Jew and she's a Samaritan. He's not supposed to speak to her because she's a woman and he's a man. This is the culture. And she's going to the well in the middle of the day when it's hot, because that's when nobody else will be there, because she knows she'll be criticized and spoken down to. And there's Jesus at the well. And he meets her. And he tells her about a different kind of water. And she says, well, that saved me coming to the well, won't it? If I drink water, I'll never thirst again. And she didn't quite get what he was saying, that he was talking about something that actually heals her from the inside out. And then he did just that. He healed her from the inside out. He spoke to her deepest need of all the rejection she'd had and showed her his love. And because he met her need, that created the well of water within her. Because what did she do? She ran back to the village and said, this man who knew me and touched me and accepted me, I know he is the one. And the whole village got saved. He met her need and she felt that wellspring of life, and it flowed out of her so others could live. And Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you the living water. And she didn't ask him, but he still gave it. She didn't ask, but he gave it anyway. That's my Jesus. He looks at you when you're in need. He looks at you when you're in pain. And he said, I know you. And I know what you need. And it's here for you. And he gives it freely. And we know he's the source. He is the source. And he says, all you have to do is ask. Just reflect on an Old Testament story here to just keep it in perspective, so that here we go a long way back in the Old Testament to Moses. And the people are complaining. They're in the desert. And they're thirsty. There's a surprise. And there's no water. And they're moaning. And they're complaining. What do you bring us out here for? It's the way we talk to God, isn't it, sometimes? What have you brought us here for? What are we doing here in this place? He says, behold, I will stand you there, before you there, on the rock of Horeb, and you'll strike the rock, and the water will come out of it that people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of Israel, and all the people drank. Who is the rock? Jesus. Stand before the rock and strike the rock. Was Jesus stricken? He was nailed to a cross and they pierced his side, and blood and water ran out from his side, and he was struck. And that living water flowed out from Jesus on the cross. And here's a picture, thousands of years before, the rock. Jesus providing the needs of those who were thirsty, even though they were complaining, even though they were moaning. God, where are you? Where are you now in this place? I can't imagine why you brought me to this place. And he comes and he is stricken. It's interesting then, you see, we get on a little bit further and they come to another place in the desert and they've had nothing to drink and they moan and complain instead of saying, we thank God that he's come through for us so far. So much before, they moan and they complain and they grumble. We want water to drink. So God speaks to Moses again and to Aaron and says, take the rod and you and your brother and assemble the congregation and speak to the rock before their eyes that it may yield its water. You shall thus forth bring water for them out of the rock and let the congregation and the beast drink. What was different? You noticed, what are they doing to the rock? Speaking to the rock. So the first time he was stricken. The next time, just speak, just ask. What did Moses actually do? He struck the rock again. Jesus died once for all. Didn't have to strike him again. And Moses suffered for that action because he was told to just ask. Just speak. And Jesus says, If you knew the gift of God and who it was to say to give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you. And there's life at Jesus' side because there's life at the cross of Calvary. There's life because he died so that you could live. And he wants us to live with him as the source of our life, with him as that which gives us drink that we'll never thirst, gives us that drink that becomes life within us so that we truly live. We don't just exist. We don't just join a club and come along and sit here and warm a chair on a Sunday morning. We have life inside us that's meant to be shared, that's meant to go and meet the needs of others. The way Jesus met the need of the Samaritan woman who was broken and rejected, and he met her need, and out of her flowed rivers of living water. It's meant to be the same for us. That out of our brokenness and out of our need, we come to the source that is Jesus. It's great we can fellowship and share together. It's great we can encourage one another and pray for one. And we should and we must. But ultimately, it's Jesus we come to. And we must lean into him and ask him. Because he said, if you ask, I will give it to you. Here's a scripture that you should know off by heart. Psalm 23, verse 2 and 3. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me by quiet waters and he restores my soul and he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Where does he take you? Can you imagine that? Even if you want to close your eyes right now and in all of your whatever is in right now, your situation that's painful, that's difficult, that's hard. There's Jesus. He's standing there and he holds out his hand to you and he says, just come walk with me a moment. Come walk with me a moment. And you find this place where the sun is shining and warming your back, where the grass smells sweet, and you can hear the running water. And he says, come and rest a while here. And it says in that moment, he restores our soul. He comes and takes us in his embrace, and all that hurt and all that anxiety, all of that pain, he holds us in that moment, a place to restore our soul, where it's him and us. Quiet water running by. Fresh warm grass beneath your feet. And the presence of God beside us. Just ask him. He'll take you there. Just ask him, he will give you to drink. Just pour your heart out to him. And he'll come through for you. It's a good time to do it. Just ask him. Jesus, come. Just come, even right now, this minute. Just come, lift up souls, hurting souls, to you. Let the warmth of your embrace surround. Let the stillness of that moment just bring healing. Soothing, soothing healing. And you can stay there and rest there a while. It's okay. It's okay. You can rest there a while. Because he wants your soul to prosper. He wants you to actually be refreshed and renewed. He doesn't want you to be burnt out and worn out. He wants you to live. So you can stay there a while. Holy Spirit comes. Rests on you like a dove. Just ministers peace to you. Jesus and Holy Spirit say, Father's looking at you with longing, loving eyes. You can lift your gaze to Father if you want to. You can look at Papa God. You can see his pleasure over you. It's a good place to be. Good place to be. If you listen, you can hear the angel song. Father God joins in singing over you. He's singing over you songs of love, songs of deliverance, songs of healing. There's joy here. There's Father God and Jesus and Holy Spirit just joined together ministering to you, bringing you into fellowship with them. Just linger a little longer, just in that place. Let him speak to you. You can ask him if you like, ask him a question. You can say, Jesus, what do you love about me today? Say, Father, can I find safety in your hands? Say, Holy Spirit, I need strength and comfort right now. Are you there for me? It's okay to ask him. Hear what he says to you. Hear the tone of his voice. Hear the joy. Hear the love. See his tears. As he feels your pain. Can you see his tears? Because he captures all our tears. Every single one of our tears he captures and keeps them in a bottle. And he brings them back to us to be life. Because he treasured them. He treasured every tear. Every moment of hurt. Every moment you thought he wasn't there. Or you railed at him, were frustrated at him. He felt your tears. He treasures those tears. Turn into jewels, they turn into songs. I just sense Jesus is just ministering, touching people. Beloved child. He would say, beloved child, you're everything to me. I let my side be torn open so that you could be washed, so that you could live, so you could drink. Let his love wash over you. Holy, holy, holy God. Mm. grab another slide, and I'm not going to use it because I don't want to spoil the moment. Just allowing Jesus to touch hearts and just bring refreshing and renewing. I don't want to rush away from this moment. Anybody feels they want to share something that they've seen or heard from Jesus, that's fine. You can share it if you feel it would encourage others. That's okay if not, that's fine. It's okay to stay in that pasture space. It's okay to stay on that grass and listen to the water. But for some of you, he's asking you right now, are you ready to walk with me somewhere? If you want to stay in the grass, it's fine. It's okay. He's saying, can you hear the water running? Do you want to come and walk in the water with me? Are you ready to walk in the water with him? Do you want to get up? Or do you want to stay there? It's okay. Do either. Because the amazing thing is with Jesus, you can still stay with him on the grass and others can walk with him in the water. He can do both at the same time. Isn't that fantastic? Perhaps one or two of you are saying, what's next, Jesus? And he's saying, come, just step in the water. Just step in the water. It's where there's life, but it's going somewhere. And he wants you to go with him. But if you like it there, it's fine. That water turns into a river. A river that's big and strong, powerful. And if you're willing, you can lose yourself into that river. You can completely lose control in him, and it's still safe. It's safe on the grass. It's safe in the stream. But if you want to move downstream with him to where the water gets deep, it's still safe. It's different. And he's inviting you to walk with him. Just the best place. It's just the best place. Because wherever you are, if you're with Jesus, it's the best place. We can leave things behind if we want to. In the pasture, it's okay. Stuff you want to carry a bit further, and it might just get lost in the water when you start carrying it. When the water gets deep, stuff you're holding on to might just get swept out of your hands. But it's still safe. Because Jesus said, I'll be with you. It's fun. The Holy Spirit wants to come too. He wants to play. This Holy Spirit comes like a fire. The word of God is a very fire. His promises are true and faithful, and they don't come without having power to accomplish what he speaks over you. And when we sing, it is well with my soul, it's because he speaks over us a wellness to our soul that he accomplishes. So it's Jesus and Holy Spirit, there's water and there's fire. And it feels like we could be completely out of control. We abandon ourselves to Holy Spirit and to Jesus. And in sense of who we are, we are out of control. That's what it means to give our life to Jesus. We let him have it all. But there is a verse in Isaiah, and we think of it so often about storms. It says, when you walk through the waters, they will not overwhelm you, and when they walk through the fire, you will not be burned. And if you're in the river of God, even when it's too wide to swim in or ford, and when the Holy Spirit falls on you in incredible power, his fire will not burn you. The river will not overwhelm you. The fire will not burn you. You will not be harmed because he's with you. I'm going to pray over you and just allow you to be in that place, wherever you need to be in that picture. Just be there. Be at peace with it. Be at peace with the lover of your soul. He loves you so much. He wants you to be safe. He wants you to know more than anything, even though that river looks wild and scary, even though the fire of the Holy Spirit and his word feels like a challenge, it's not going to harm you. So Jesus, Holy Spirit, I say, just come right now. Just come. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, 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 Holy Spirit. Fill this place. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Come, Holy Spirit. Do a work. It's okay to be whoever, however you are. Just let the Holy Spirit just come. Let him touch you. You're ready to say yes, whatever it is, Lord, yes. Worth it. He's holding out a crown for you. He's holding out incredible robes that fill you with joy. So much joy. He turns mourning into joy. And we know there's real pain in the room today. We know. He knows it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Come finish your work, Holy Spirit. Come bring completion to what you want to do right now. Every heart touched, every soul find a refreshing and something new from the Lord this morning. He's here. He's here in power. He's not leaving you abandoned. He's gone before. He's done a work. Wherever he's leading you, it's safe. Let his love wash over you now. Thank you, God. Just thank him for it. Just thank him. Just in the quietness of your heart, if you want to speak it out, just start to thank him for what he's doing. Just start to thank him for what he's doing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It is well. It is well with my soul. Support or encouragement, and give somebody a hug. Just find that sense of God's presence in somebody else. Just let him touch you. But don't lose this moment. Don't lose it. Just you can get back into this space. Wherever you are, you just get back into this space. Wherever you ended up in the picture, you can get back into that space and find the joy of his presence. He wants to bring you to a place of incredible joy. Just incredible joy. And that looks different for all of us, but that's where he wants you to be. So, thank you, God. Lord, I thank you for your incredible, amazing love. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You came to help us. Thank you, Jesus. You died to give us that river of life. Thank you, Papa God, that you let your Son come and you all love on us so much. Just come, do finish what you need to do with us today, that we'd be able to walk and be a river of life to those around us, for your honor and for your glory, Jesus. Amen. Amen.